I was going to say children to children's church. I don't think there's any children here today. So, good. Everybody get stay in here and hear me. I don't know if that's good or not, but we're blessed by the children when we do have them. It's good to see you this morning, Pedro. He got up this morning. Sometimes he skips Sunday morning, so he comes Sunday night. But you were sick. Okay. All right. Yes, I know that. Is everybody feeling better? Okay, good. So take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. And we'll begin reading there in, we'll read from there in just a moment. We're going to begin reading from the screen here in just a second. I've got too many books and things and stuff up here. All right, there we go. Okay. While you're turning there, I have a thank you letter from Dorinda I wanted to read this morning. It says, "Dear church family, thank you so much for the outpouring of your love towards me as I said goodbye to my sister. There were so many cards, calls, and texts. Your generosity allowed me to be there when my sister needed me. Okay. Thank you, love, Dorinda. So, anyway, we'll continue to keep you in our prayers. Also, keep the Poole family in your prayers as well. Harry's sister Ruth had been battling a heart problem over the past few weeks, and she passed away earlier. Was it this week or last week? Last Sunday that she passed away and went home to be with the Lord. So keep the Pools in your prayers as well. Seemed like we're just dealing with a lot of that all of a sudden with friends and members here. So moving on to James chapter 4. But first I want to read from Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. It says there, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Jesus speaking reminds those to whom he is speaking here in Matthew chapter 6, mainly his disciples, to not only lay up treasures on earth, but to use the time and talents that God had given them to lay up treasures of eternal worth and of eternal value in heaven. The treasures we own here, the physical treasures of earth, will pass away, or we will pass away and move them on, leave them off to somebody else. But the things we lay up, the treasures we send ahead to heaven, will be there to greet us when we get there. It's easy to get your mind focused only on the things of earth. There are those today that are rightfully grieving over the loss of homes and many other things due to the storm down south of us. But there are some who, despite the loss of those things, have a hope and a joy in their heart and are not in despair over their loss because they have something of greater value. They have Jesus. And they're living for things of greater value than the things that a storm can destroy. Sadly, there are those who are grieving and in despair because all the things of their life are tied up only in things of the earth. So they are more devastated this morning. They need the Lord. James chapter 4, verse 13. James chapter 4, beginning in verse 13. It says, James says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we should live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." Let's go to the Lord in prayer once more. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word today. Thank you, Lord, for the encouragement to us who know you that there are things of greater value than the things of earth. And we can use our time and talents and all that you provide to lay up for ourselves not only treasures on earth but treasures in heaven that will not pass away. We thank you, Lord, that Miss Marilyn is there today enjoying those in your presence. We thank you, Lord, that Harry's sister Ruth, who know you, is there as well. We pray for them, for Dorinda and the loss of Julie, who also knew you. We pray for their comfort in their loss. But Lord, we also thank you that in the midst of that pain and loss that we have hope. We have hope in Jesus Christ our Savior. And we have hope for something even better than what we have down here. Lord, help us to fix our eyes on Jesus and on things of eternal value today and to make wise use of the time you've given us here. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've ever been near a nuclear plant, let's see, do I have that here? There it is. Let's see. If you've ever been near a nuclear plant, they have these big stacks, big towers there. In order to cool the process there, the nuclear process, it requires a ton of water. And that water is evaporated into water vapor, which then pours out the top of those towers. And I've been past several of them in my lifetime, and sometimes you can just see that column of water vapor just pouring forth out of the top of those nuclear towers. But as you can see from the picture, all of that water vapor doesn't make it very far. It's there in bunches, it's thick, it's visible, and then in a few seconds, all of that water vapor just what? It just vanishes into the air, and it disappears, and it's gone just that quick. All of that water vapor from those towers. James is telling us here that our life is like that water vapor. It may be big and bright and noticeable, or maybe not so much to the world. It is important to the Lord, but it is brief. It is brief. In light of eternity, the time we spend here is brief. And the older we get, the more that is kind of driven home to us. When we're young and we just think, hey, you know, life just going to go on forever and ever. But this life doesn't. Praise God, if you're a Christian, you have eternal life in Jesus Christ, and that will. But our life down here is like a vapor. It's here, and then it's what? And then it's gone. The question is, what are we going to have to show for it? What James is telling us here is you had better be careful with how you spend your time and energy here on this earth, for it is fleeting, and you can't get it back. There is only a limited of supply, and when it is gone, it is gone. It is appointed unto man once to what? To die. But after this, the judgment. James is also warning us not to take it for granted. Boasting in what we will do tomorrow when tomorrow may not come. So many people are boasting in tomorrow. They're putting their faith in tomorrow. I'll do it when? Tomorrow. I'll accomplish this great feat tomorrow. And oftentimes we put it off. Tomorrow, 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 tomorrow. And tomorrow never comes. The fact is, none of us sitting here today know if we have tomorrow. We don't know that. People down have lost their lives in Naples and Fort Myers that thought they had tomorrow. And tomorrow did not come. Therefore, we had better do good with the time and talents and resources we have now. For if we should waste them, we may not have tomorrow to do what we should have done when? Today. That's what James is saying here. For therefore, verse 17, him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? Sin. Don't put off the goods you would do for the Lord till when? Tomorrow. Do it when? Today. Because you do not know what tomorrow will bring. In Ephesians, Paul says, redeeming the time for the days are evil. Why? Because they're limited. They're not our friend. There is a limit to them. So you better use them what? You better use them wisely. Don't put off the good that you would do till tomorrow. Do it today. For him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? To him it is sin. Do not take tomorrow for granted. Look, if you would, in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, and we're going to look at verses 15 through 21. Luke 12, 15 through 21. Too many verses to put up here on the screen, so. I still hear some pages turning, so that's good. Sad how many people come to church today and don't bring a Bible anymore. It should be something that we carry with us often. Luke 12, 15. And he said unto them, take heed, beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. In other words, a bunch. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have nowhere to bestow my fruits? His harvest was so great, his present barns and storage facilities were totally inadequate for the great harvest that he had. Boy, that's a good problem to have, isn't it? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Someone said you never see a hearse pulling a U-Haul. And one day somebody took a picture of a hearse pulling a U-Haul just to show me that they had seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul. But you get the drift, okay? You can't take it what? You can't take it with you. This man had a lot of things on earth and thought that everything was taken care of. The most important thing was not. What was this man's mistake? He spent all of his time, money, and effort laying up treasure where? Problem number one. He laid up all his treasure in the wrong place. Now, there isn't anything wrong with laying up a little treasure here for a rainy day and for your needs. Go back to Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be what? Added unto you or provided unto you. In other words, Jesus doesn't deny that we have needs here on earth, that he is going to help us, help to provide and to give us opportunity to procure. And that is going to require work and wisdom and intelligence and discipline and many other things. It's okay to have some treasure here, but we need to make sure all our treasure isn't here, but there's much treasure where? In heaven awaiting us. We're going to spend a lot more time there than we have spent here. This man spent all of his time and money laying up treasures on earth with no thought of what? Eternity. Now, doesn't that, I think, define in many ways much of our culture today? People don't even think about eternity. They are so caught up in the things of earth that the devil tries to keep them distracted so they won't think about eternity. So many people you asked about eternity, they can't give you an answer because they haven't thought it through. They're only thinking about the things and the treasures of earth. Very sad. Because it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the what? The judgment, eternity comes. He's not only spent all of his time and effort on the things of earth, he spent all his time and effort on who? Himself. By making himself first, he became what? Last. In whose book? In God's book, the only one that matters. Many of the first shall be last, and the last shall be what? First, Jesus said. By making himself first, by seeking to save his life for himself, he what? He lost it, as Christ warns us of. Don't spend all your time on just yourself. It will be an empty life, and even more, an empty eternity. He spent all his time and money on treasures of earth. He spent all his time and money on himself. He was mistaken when he thought that he had everything taken care of, because the most important thing he had neglected: his soul. So Jesus calls him a what? A fool. For what good is all of that stuff if you lose your own soul? All that thought of, well, I've got it all taken care of, I can sit back and just enjoy the pleasures of life with no thought and no concern. And the one thing he should have been concerned about, he wasn't. And that one thing he had to deal with that very night. Because none of us are promised what? Tomorrow here on earth. God warns us today, as Christ did then, don't be a fool. Make sure of your soul. Make sure your soul is right with who? Jesus Christ, is right with God. That you are rich in faith and grace through Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for your sins and rose again. That you have chosen Him as your Lord and Savior. And then lay up treasure in heaven. Do something with your life other than satisfying your own lusts. Do good. Do the works of God. Use what He has given for an eternal purpose and not just a temporal one. Don't leave everything you work for behind when you go to be with the Lord. Have something to take with you. Have something waiting for you in heaven. Lay up treasure there, and not just on earth, because one day you'll go to meet Him. And everything that you've worked for here and only for yourself, you will leave it all behind. Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25, verse 14. Matthew 25, 14. Verse 14, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded them with the same, and made them other 5 talents. Likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with him. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, you lazy bum, basically. Thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. At least you could have done that. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant in outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is a parable Jesus told. He told it in connection with Matthew 24 concerning the end of the age and the return of the Lord, and with the separation of the goats and the sheep at the end of chapter 25. In other words, the day will come when we will stand before who? We'll stand before the Lord. The Lord is coming back, okay? He is coming back. And when he comes back, he will take an account of what his servants have done with what he entrusted them with, okay? Now, what has he entrusted us with? Well, many things. He's entrusted us with life, health, energy, talents and abilities, time, resources, money, resources. He has entrusted us with blessings and family and opportunities to witness and to minister and to learn. And we could just go on and on about the many blessings that God has entrusted us with in this life. He has blessed us with. And one day, we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and we will give an accounting of how we used those things. Yes, Christians will stand before a judgment called the judgment seat of Christ. It's not a place of punishment, it's a place of reward. But yet those who have nothing to show will receive nothing at this judgment. We'll have nothing to lay at Jesus' what? At Jesus' feet. Like the master of the house, God has given to each of His children, servants, various talents and abilities, varying amounts of income and time. The question is not how much or what kind of each you have, so much as what you do with what you have been given. The two servants used what they had been given by the master to gain more for who? For Him upon His return. Like them, we are not just servants, we are stewards. We've been entrusted by God with things that are not really ours. They're His creation. And we've been entrusted with them for a time to be used in whose service? In His service and for His glory. What are we? Are we being good stewards with those things of which we have been entrusted? Are we being foolish stewards? Two of the servants used what they had been given to gain more for their master. They were diligent, disciplined in the use of their time and energy, and they were rewarded, as we will be at the judgment seat of Christ if we take what God has entrusted us with in this life and use it for what? For good. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him it is sin. To do good, to do the works of who? Of God, to bring glory to His name. That is what is good. The other took what he had been given and hid it. Kept his light, so to speak, under a bushel. Did not concern himself with making more for the master, and was punished for his laziness and misuse of his gift. Let's say that you had $100,000, and you didn't know what to do, and you thought, you know, there is this brokerage firm out there, there's this investment firm, and if I invest my money with them, I give them my money, they are stewards of my money. It's not their money, it's my money, but I'm going to let them have control of that money, and they're supposed to invest it here and invest it there and with this business and that business, and that money will what? Supposedly, what will happen to it? It will grow. A matter of fact, not only do you entrust them with it, but you actually pay them to wisely invest it, because they're the ones that are supposed to know how to do that, because you don't. And so you give them your money, you entrust them to do something with it, and it's with them for 10 years, and you go back to the investment firm, you say, hey, I need my money now. And they give you back the exact same amount you gave them. But you actually paid them. So I guess you didn't get back quite everything you gave. And you're thinking, you know, if I was going to hide it under my mattress, I could have done that myself. I paid you to make it what? Grow. And you did what? Nothing. I could have done that. That's sad. You wouldn't be happy. And if we do only those things the Bible says that our Lord commands, we are yet what? Unprofitable servants. We only do that which is absolutely commanded and necessary. We're a servant, but we're not the best. What are you doing? What am I doing? What are we doing? Are we laying up treasure in heaven? Are we taking the resources and time and energy and talents God has given us and using them to do good in this world, to do good for our Savior, to bring glory to His name, to uplift others for whom He died and made and whom He loves? Are we only spending it on who? Ourselves. Will we have anything to show Him on that day? Are we laying up treasure in heaven? Are you using those things God has given to bring glory and honor and gain to Him? Or are we squandering the use of our time, energy, and finances upon ourselves or things which are of no eternal value? Let's look at one more passage. 1 John 2:15 through 17. Turn one more time with me, if you would. 1 John 2:15 through 17. Verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth what? Forever. Okay? So what is God saying to us here? John commands us not to love or highly value things of the world which are passing away, but to choose instead to love, highly value those things that are of our Father in heaven. To lay up for ourselves treasure in heaven, and not just where? On earth. What is it that you highly value? Well, to love something means you highly value it. It is important to you. You order your life around it because it is of such great high value. John is saying, those of you who profess faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to quit ordering your life around the things of earth and order your life around the treasures of what? Of heaven. How do we know if we're doing that? How can we determine? By taking an honest look at that which we spend our time, effort, and money on. And by the way, others, they take notice as well. What things are of this world, this life, which we must let go? And what things are of eternal value, which we must lay hold of? Well, he tells us here, verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Those are the things that are of the world, the things that satisfy those desires, that self-gratification. What are the things that are of eternal value? Things that demonstrate love for who? Love for God and love for others. Take just a few minutes to close this morning to contrast and apply the two in respect to our money, time, and energy. The things you spend your money, time, and energy on, are they consistently and primarily for yourself, to advance yourself, to fulfill your desires? Is that where all of your money and time go? Or are they consistently and primarily for God and others to advance His agenda, the gospel, take care of our responsibilities toward Him, our family, our ministry, our testimony? He divides it up into these three things here. The lust of the eyes, that's the second one actually, we'll go with it first. The lust of the eyes, the things that you see and lust after, because you have to have a newer, nicer, prettier, sportier, more elaborate, fancier, you fill in the blank. Because you see it and you what? Want it. And of course, the world plays on this constantly. Advertising is all based upon this. They want to show you something and attract your eyes to it so that you will go out and buy the newest thing because it's so much better. Where did that start? All the way back in the what? Garden of Eden. Like even the garden, do we look at the apple and reach for it because we like what we see? Or like Lot in the plain of Jordan, do we look at the green grass and desire it all for who? Ourselves. Do we spend so much time and energy, dreams, pursuing things, polishing things, which are here today, old tomorrow, and gone the next? Or do we instead look on the things the Lord will spiritualize of faith? Spiritualize of faith and see the love of God for others, for their salvation, for their growth. See the love of God to have all of us and so seek to know Him and to serve Him better. Which set of eyes drives you? The physical eyes driven by the lust of the eyes or spiritual eyes of faith? There's the lust of the flesh to fulfill your fleshly desires, to entertain and amuse, to make you feel good, to bring you pleasure. So many people, their whole life is wrapped up in those things. And you know, that is sort of expected. It's wrong, but it's sort of expected of the lost world because they don't know the Lord and they don't know of eternal treasure. But God expects better things of who? He expects better things of us. Who won the World Series 10 years ago? Who cares? You know? Where did you go on vacation 10 or 20 years ago? Are you still living in the joy of your vacation 20 years ago? Probably not. What did you have to eat 2 weeks ago? Did you spend all that money on going to Ruth's Chris Steakhouse to buy a $200 steak? Never done that myself, but I've been told that it exists. Did that sat? Are you still hungry today? Is that steak keeping you satisfied? Jesus said to the woman at the well, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Life not only meaning that you continue living, but that you live it more abundantly. If you're living for and spending all your time and energy on the things that are passing away rather than eternal things, you will never be satisfied. And as a Christian, you have every ability to be satisfied in Christ. So take your eyes off of those things. Embrace the Lord. Satisfaction comes by living for Jesus, eternity, and others. Those other pleasures and things, they come and they what? And they go. And they make you happy at the moment. And some of them are okay, some of them are not. Some of them are okay, but don't live your life for them. They won't satisfy. So much of the world, all they do is live for the weekend. They got to make money during the week so they can go get drunk and party and have a good time on the weekend. And that's all they live for. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? We have so much more in Christ. Finally, pride of life. To have others look at you in awe of your accomplishments, your wealth, or your beauty. Is that what you live for? I hope not. As Christians, that certainly shouldn't be true of us. Ladies, do you spend most of your time on yourselves, your outward appearance, cosmetics, jewelry, clothes, or on your heart and your relationship with God? On your brethren or on your family? 1 Peter 3, 3 and 4, Peter says this, "Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair and the wearing of gold or the putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit which is in the sight of God of great price." The question is not, do you have jewelry or do you have makeup? That's not the question here. The question is, what is your focus in life? Is it the outward appearance to impress others? Or are you working on your heart, allowing God, coming to God to work on your heart so that you can bring glory to Him and be a blessing to others? On what, men, do you spend all your time? Your car, your house, your hobby, your position, trying to climb the corporate ladder. What does the Bible say? It says, "Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church." He doesn't say love your car. Doesn't say love your job. You might need a car and you probably need a job. But love your wife. Love your family. Love your Lord. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. What is the pride of your life? What is the pride of your life? Your job, your house, your car, your children? Your ministry for God. Which is it? The car or children? Job or ministry for God? Where is your treasure? Some things are eternal. Other things are passing away. On what do you spend your money, talents, and time? When you stand before your Father which is in heaven, will you hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? Or will you walk away empty because you spent all you had on yourself, on the earth, on this life? What kind of testimony do you have before others? Is God not worthy of your money, your time, and your effort? What are we teaching those who follow in our footsteps? That God only wants our Sundays, our empty praise, our 10% or 5% or 2%? That the Christian life is about what I can get here and do for me? Is that what we're teaching others? I hope not. Is that what Christ died for? I don't think so. Christ died that we might live for Him. It is our what? Our reasonable service. Worst yet, are you like the farmer in Luke who has spent all your thought and time on the things of earth and has forgotten to take care of your what? Your soul. If you're here this morning and you're not sure that your soul is taken care of, you can take care of that today and trust Jesus Christ as Lord. We'll give a hymn of invitation. I'll meet you right down here. Don't walk away because you don't know if tomorrow is going to come. And if you're a Christian, if God is dealing with some area in your life that He has revealed, that is laying up treasure on earth and not taking care of treasure in heaven, don't walk away without having a talk with Him. Let's pray. Dear God, thank You, Lord, for this day. Thank You, Lord, for all that You've done for us. Forgive us, Lord, of our failures. And Lord, there are many. Lord, we thank You that our hope is not in ourselves, but in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank You for Your grace and Your love. The opportunity You've given us to be Your children and to serve You and to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven where moss and rust does not corrupt and thieves do not break in and steal. Lord, help us to get our eyes off the things of earth and ourselves and spend a little time honestly assessing if our heart is where it ought to be in regards to the things of eternity, along with our time and talents, our resources, and our many blessings. Lord, help us to be better stewards by choosing to put our love into those things that are lasting and not into those things which are passing away. And if there be one here that's not trusted Christ, I pray they'd come, that they might be saved today. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You take your hymn book.